Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. Proverbs 18:10. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Proverbs 35. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Acts 16:31. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Deuteronomy 31:8. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful this morning for the privilege which is ours to be here, to open our hearts and minds to these magnificent truths. We realize today again how blessed all of us are. We're the recipients of grace and salvation, which simply means that we've been made as members of the family of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have the assurance that one day we shall leave this life, either by way of the rapture or by way of physical death, and to be absent means that we'll be at home with our Savior. And so we rejoice in the fact that you have given us the assurance that we are your children. We've been blessed tremendously. We have opportunity now to receive again information from your wonderful truth. We pray that you will bless us in these moments of study today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We begin reading with verse 26. Matthew 26, 26. And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread. After a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took a cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is to be shed on behalf of many for forgiveness of sins." When you go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, you'll find how the Lord's table began. The children of Israel, God's chosen, had grown from a family to a huge nation. They were in Egypt, a strange land, as slaves. God had planned and plans for this nation to move it to the promised land. Moses would be the leader. But each family had to observe a new ordinance. A death angel was coming through Egypt as a plague to kill the oldest boy in each family. This was punishment to the Egyptians because of their attitude toward the Jews and their restrictions upon them. The Lord made a provision for all people who would obey His words so that this tragedy would not come upon their families. They were ordered to kill an animal, catch the blood in a basin, and put that blood over all three sides of their front doorpost. When the death angel came by, if the people did what had been instructed, the death angel would pass over, and no discipline would be theirs. Notice I use the word pass and then over. The Jews who obeyed were spared. God told them to do this every year as an ordinance. This is presented to us in Exodus chapter 12, 24 and 25. We call this a Passover shadow. The question is, why is it called a Passover shadow? A shadow is a representation of the real, but not the real. Many times I would walk as a little boy with my dad on the farm down what I would call the turning row. The sun would be shining across my dad's figure and the shadow would be out there on the ground. If I wanted to express my love to my dad, I would not fall down on that shadow and hug it and say, "Dad, I love you." Not when the real thing was there. Passover shadow, pointing to a time when Jesus Christ would give himself totally on the cross. And God, our Heavenly Father, would judge Jesus Christ for our sins. And then he would be satisfied. The word satisfy means to be propitiated, or the word propitiates means to be satisfied. We would not receive the judgment from God's justice, but it would pass over to the Lord Jesus Christ instead. In the shadow, it was a Passover, as you remember, to an animal. The shadow was done yearly to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. The unleavened bread, which means no yeast, no rising agent, means that Jesus would have no sin in himself. The blood meant that Jesus would die for us spiritually and physically. Animal life, as we all know, is in the blood. Human life is in the soul. The last Passover with the disciples was also the first Lord's table. Jesus always does things right. All you have to do is read the scripture that I've just read to you, Matthew 26, 26 through 29. He sought to explain to the unknowing disciples that he was the Passover lamb who would be offered on the very day of the Jews celebrating Passover, to be a visible sign to the perceptive Jew. No more animals would have to be slain. The shadow becomes insignificant when reality is present. The shadow blood would not have to be collected in a basin anymore. His blood meant that he himself would die for us, both spiritually and physically. The animal's blood and Christ's spiritual death compares to each other. Could I talk about that for a second? The animal's life was, and is even today, in the blood. The animals were tied down, as you remember, while kicking to be freed, then stabbed in the throat. The animal blood was caught in a dish. Then it was skinned, his insides burned, his meat eaten by the priest. There's a picture of the animal. But take a look at Jesus. He did not have to be tied down. The scripture says he laid down his life voluntarily. I like that, don't you? No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. How fantastic. Jesus Christ actually did not bleed to death because his life was in the soul, not in his blood. He gave up his own life. The blood of Christ refers, of course, to the total work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Do we understand that? Jesus commanded believers of the church age to remember. This is a time to remember. So I'm going to put some things on the screen for you. When we come to the Lord's Supper, it's a picture of the substitute for the world. So Roman numeral 1, the focus of the Lord's Supper is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's why we observe the Lord's table. We're not interested in anything else other than to focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. This could be the most meaningful time in your day as you think in terms of all that the Lord has done and is doing for you. The focus of this supper is the Lord Jesus Christ. Roman number 2, the purpose is to express our occupation with Him and our adoration of our Heavenly Father. Are we really occupied with Him? Is Jesus Christ first in our lives? The purpose of our Lord's Supper is to reveal the fact that we love the Lord Jesus Christ supremely, preeminently. We adore Him and appreciate our Heavenly Father and His great love for us in giving His Son, and His Son in giving His life. Roman numeral 3. Every believer from 30 A.D. until now is commanded to observe this ordinance. This is a command from our Lord. Every believer from 30 A.D. until now commanded to observe this ordinance. In a few moments, we'll be holding the bread. The bread is a symbol and represents the Lord Jesus Christ as a unique person, the only one qualified to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. Unique person. No one like Jesus. No one like Jesus. The bread is a symbol then and represents Jesus Christ as a unique person, qualified to be our substitute. In a few moments, we'll also be holding the cup. The cup represents the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Do you see how fantastic this observance is? These are simple points, of course. The focus is Jesus. The purpose is to express our love and appreciation to our Heavenly Father. And then, of course, we remember that this is obedience to a command. He's told us to do it, and that's the reason why we do it. We have to understand the symbols. The bread represents Jesus as a unique person, and the cup represents His total work on our behalf. There's much more that could be said. We'll keep that in mind, though, as our men come to observe the Lord's table. May we bow for a moment of prayer as our men come for this beautiful time of observance. The scripture says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." May we bow for a moment of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this day and this opportunity to remember what our Savior has done and is doing for us. And as we participate in this magnificent service now, may we be reminded over and over again of God's great love for us, and the willingness of our Savior Jesus Christ to come to this earth, go to the cross, and bear our sins in His own body on the tree. May these be precious moments for us as we open our hearts and minds to think seriously about what all You have done and are doing for us. And we thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We will retain the bread until all have been served. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we're thankful today, so very thankful, that the Lord Jesus Christ was bruised for our transgressions, and with his stripes we are the recipients of healing. We're thankful for the spiritual healing of our Savior, and the privilege which is ours now to remember that which he has done for us. We pray that you will guide us in these moments, that we may keep our focus clear and remember exactly why we're here and what you have in store for us now and for the time that lies out in the future. We thank you for your matchless grace. In Jesus' name, amen. It is our custom to retain the cup until all have been served. In the same manner, he took the cup also, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're going to stand now and sing together, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Thank you, gentlemen.
When I survey the faithfulness,
He is our great redeemer.